This is Divorce Happy Hour, a show about divorce and issues people face going through divorce. Your co-hosts are Christina Previtt and John Knocklinger. For more information about the show and to connect with us, head over to divorcehappyhour.com. And now, on to today's show.
Hello and welcome to Divorce Happy Hour. My name is John Knocklinger. I'm the co-owner of NetSquire, a law firm devoted to helping people get divorced without fighting. So it's Friday, which means it's time for us to discuss another topic about divorce that many of you probably are very curious about. And today we're going to talk about holidays and vacations when it comes to your children after divorce. In other words, how do we come together to figure out a holiday schedule? How do we deal with vacations? And how do we deal with all the other issues that kind of are related to those specific things? But first, a little bit about NetSquire for those of you that are just joining in. We specialize in helping people get divorced through uncontested divorce and mediation for flat fees. So if you're interested in whether or not your divorce would qualify for one of our flat fees or whether our packages are right for your family, head over to gethappydivorce.com and find out more. You can also book a free call with us to learn more. But back to today's show. We are going to be diving into how we figure out holidays and vacation. So whenever you're figuring out your custody and parenting time schedule, you're going to be looking at where the children are going to be and when during a regular week. Well, regular weeks happen most of the year, but we have a lot of holidays during the year. So there's really three types of holidays. Okay. First type of holiday we have are your big federal holidays, like the holidays that everyone has. So that's things like Christmas Day, New Year's Day, Good Friday, usually Memorial Day, 4th of July, Labor Day. Sometimes Columbus Day is a big holiday, Thanksgiving. So basically the big, huge holidays that everyone has. The second tier of holidays are school holidays. So these are holidays that your child will be out of school. And these could be any number of things. Martin Luther King Day, Veterans Day, there's spring break, fall break. There are teacher in-service days. There's early dismissal days. There's a lot of different holidays. I mean, most school districts now have Juneteenth, June 19th as a holiday, even though school ends a couple days later. You know, and then there's the third tier of holidays, which are your religious holidays. And sometimes there's some overlap between religious and school and just major holidays. But depending on where your child goes to school, that might mean Jewish holidays. And if you're Jewish, then those holidays are very important that we have to figure out where your child's going to be and when for all the important Jewish holidays. But they might actually be out of school. And then in terms of religious holidays, of course, if you're Christian, then we also have, you know, the Christmas holidays, Easter holidays, and then other religions have other very important days as well. And some there's cultural holidays too, beyond religious holidays. So these are all the holidays that we kind of go through. And what is a normal sort of holiday allocation? Well, most of the time, people will split holidays with their children equally. Now, how does this work? Well, it could be anything from you just alternate, meaning you just put all your holidays out, just kind of list them out throughout the year, and you just alternate. And then in the next year, you alternate the opposite direction. In other words, if someone got New Year's Day in 2023, then the other parent will get New Year's Day in 2024. So that every 2 years, both parents have every holiday. That's a very popular way of doing it, particularly if you don't have, if neither parent's very religious and you just want to alternate the holidays. So that's a very popular way of doing it. But that's not realistic for a lot of people because a lot of people have specific holidays that mean something to them. So, for example, you might be a person who, whether you're religious or not, you do something over Easter weekend with your extended family every year. Let's say you do a reunion or you do something. Well, it might be important that you have that holiday every year. And if you're going to do that, then perhaps you can offer your spouse another holiday every year of similar length. So really, it's going to be a matter of, do you just want to alternate? Are there holidays that are important to each one of you? And then we think about holidays that are important to children. And those are typically their birthdays and Christmas. And Christmas is an important holiday for everyone who celebrates. And people in the Jewish faith have very important holidays as well. But if you're looking at Christmas, a lot of people either celebrate on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. It's very interesting. When people are getting divorced, it's almost like one side of the family likes to do Christmas Eve, one side of the family likes to do Christmas Day. So that's something that's very popular, where we just sort of split Christmas itself into two separate holidays, sort of the Christmas Eve part, the Christmas Day part. But you are able to reach an agreement that matches what actually happens in your family. So this is where, if you go to court, the court has its own little holiday schedule, and they say, boom, here it is, even odd, and then we're going to alternate. And that's really what you get. But for most of you, that's not what you want. You want sort of a thoughtful process to go through all of the holidays. And then you've got special days. And what are special days? Well, your children's birthday is a special day, right? And what else is a special day? Maybe your birthday, Mother's Day, Father's Day, things like that. Maybe an extended family member's birthday, maybe like a nana or a grandfather or an aunt, an uncle, someone important. Perhaps it's important if you are in a blended family that a step sister or stepbrother's birthday is an important holiday for your children. So there's a lot of special days that you might want to put in your calendar and put as part of this holiday schedule so that you can have those with your children. And so when you start to add up all these days, you see there's a lot of holidays and special days with your children throughout the year. There's a lot. And, you know, it's something that is sometimes difficult to schedule, because you have your schedule going along, right? Maybe you have a 50-50 schedule where it's week on, week off, which, by the way, I think is a great schedule. But week on, week off, and let's say one of you gets spring break. Well, it's possible if someone has spring break and that happens to be the other parent's normal week, the one parent could have 3 weeks in a row. So there is some need to be reasonable with the schedule to ensure that both parents can see their children on a regular basis. But still, you need a holiday schedule. You guys need to know where kids are going to be and when, so that you can plan your life. You want to plan your life. You want to be able to plan if your family doesn't live in New Jersey, let's say, and you have to travel to California or Illinois or Ohio or Texas or Florida. You want to be able to know that you can book tickets in advance because you have that holiday. And so that's why it's very important that you have this schedule. And then again, those fall break, most schools in New Jersey have a fall break and a spring break. It's important you figure out who's going to get those. You've got the time between Christmas and New Year's. That's another break. That's the winter break. So you've got three breaks the children have every year. So you have to figure out where the kids are going to be and when. Again, traditionally, you split it. Like literally put all the holidays and slice it down the middle. How you divide them up is really where mediation would come in very handy. So we can talk about what's important to each parent so that you get a schedule that both of you will find acceptable. And of course you can modify the schedule in the future. And the hope is if you reach an agreement with your spouse or you go through mediation and reach an agreement with your spouse, that it provides the framework, the foundation for the two of you to continue to reach compromises in the future. So that's sort of how we put together a holiday schedule. There's really no magic to it. No one's entitled to any particular holiday. The easiest holidays to deal with, if there's any dispute, is if parents have different religious beliefs, then, you know, the religious holidays can sort of be divided that way. But really, it's about being reasonable and looking at what actually goes on. So if, you know, every year, you know, dad's family celebrates on Christmas Eve and mom's family celebrates on Christmas Day, why would you fight that? So those are sort of, that's why you have these conversations with each other and come to mediation so you can work out a schedule that works. And it's not just the days. You also want to work out the pickup and drop off times, because let's say you've got a Memorial Day. Well, Memorial Day by itself is not really like really Memorial Day. You want Memorial Day weekend. Labor Day. Okay, who cares about Labor Day? You want Labor Day weekend. So there's, you know, holidays, in my opinion, should be attached to weekends and should be so that someone can go travel if they want to. But these are conversations you should have with your spouse. A lot of times holidays are not what holds people up, but sometimes it does. Sometimes it does hold people up. So let's talk about vacations next. So what is typical? I get asked this all the time when we start mediation. John, what's typical? What's a typical? Well, if you want to know typical, typical is each parent gets 2 weeks during the summer with the kids. That's typical. So, you know, 2 weeks, what does that mean? Does that mean 2 weeks straight? Does it mean a week here and a week there? That's what you have a conversation about. What makes sense for your family? What does it make sense for the kids to be gone for two straight weeks? Or does it make sense to have a week here and a week there? And sometimes that depends on your schedule. So if you're week on, week off already, guess what? You don't need a vacation schedule during the summer because you're already week on, week off. So you already have a week where you can go somewhere. But vacations, you need to figure out, number one, how far in advance you need to provide notice. Some people want 90 days. Some people, they want 120 days. You need to provide some notice. And number two is who gets first dibs every year. I like to alternate. So in even years, maybe dad gets first dibs, and in odd years, mom gets first dibs. That's a way to sort of reduce dispute, which is something we try to do, is reduce dispute in the future. And then where do you get to take the kids? Well, this one's a hard one. I mean, obviously you can't restrict people to New Jersey. That's just dumb. I mean, people go to New York and Pennsylvania all the time. Also, if they're flying domestically, there's really no argument for that. I mean, obviously you should be entitled to the flight information, where they're staying, all of those sorts of things. Leaving the country is where things get a little sticky. Now, there's a lot of people who have family that live in other countries, you know, Europe, India, Japan, Korea, where it's entirely appropriate and actually happened during the marriage where you took the kids to these foreign countries. But there's also countries where maybe you didn't take the kids during the marriage. And there are also countries that are hostile to some degree to United States law, particularly as it relates to children coming home. So sometimes there needs to be a discussion about where the children can go. Now, I've seen provisions that say, as long as you're going to take the kids, let's say to you know, the Caribbean or Mexico or something, you can go without, you know, specific consent. You can just give notice. But other people want anytime that you leave the country for there to be written consent. And that's something the two of you have to work out. And then if they leave the country, now we got passports. Do they have passports? If not, are we going to get them? Which means both parents have to cooperate. Once we get passports, where are they going to be held? Usually they're held by the parent of primary residence, whoever that is. But maybe you decide you're going to put them in a safe deposit box that you both have access to. That's kind of something that just sort of works itself out. But really, you need to be clear on what's going on, because if you just say someone can take your child on vacation and you have no other restrictions, don't come crying later on whenever they, you know, book a ticket to Italy and you're like, I didn't say they could go to Italy. Well, you didn't say they couldn't, and Italy's not exactly a dangerous place. Well, no more dangerous than anywhere else, I would say, in the world. So those are sort of the two major issues that come up in a parenting time discussion, let's say. That's your holiday schedule, which is inclusive of special days, and a vacation schedule. And as you can see, there's plenty of room for compromise. There's plenty of room to reach an agreement. And this is where mediation is particularly effective. So if you're going through a parenting time dispute, maybe even after you've already been divorced, and you're listening to this, we are really emphasizing that you should reach out to a mediator and see if a mediator can help you and your spouse find a way to reach a compromise on these issues. It's good for both of you. It's good for your kids. Just never forget it. Well, everyone have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. If you have your children this weekend, get out and enjoy. I hear the weather's going to be nice. So get out and enjoy this first weekend of summer. A lot of pools are opening. The beaches are open. Enjoy your kids. And we'll see you here next Friday for another episode of Divorce Happy Hour.
Thank you for listening. For more information, check out divorcehappyhour.com. And please don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.